Hello.
Good morning, good afternoon. What does Yasin say? Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whenever you're listening to us, welcome to the Coffee and Controllers podcast. Today we're without Yasin again.
Guy's got to work, man.
He's got to work. Man is earning money.
He basically, he pays for everything we do. So yeah. He pays my rent, he pays for my food.
Bought the garage.
Yeah.
He bought the garage. Guys, property.
This is just a garage on a empty plot that we shoot out of.
Yeah. So basically today we're gonna do something a little different. But first, guys, what have you been up to like this past week? Saeed, have you been playing Fortnite again?
I'm not playing Fortnite as much. I still enjoyed the season. It's been nice when I've played it, but my laptop is barely capable when it comes to the game. So it's not fun.
Is it dying?
Yeah. I think my laptop is just gonna be just used for like CapCut now and Word documents. So it's like I started getting frustrated with the game because it's like it's so slow sometimes and it freezes and stuff, and it's just like, even though I've been having fun and I'm still having fun, I need to be in a good mood to play the game because otherwise I'll just get annoyed.
it's like your belt, when your belt gets caught on a door handle. Yeah. What's that?
Yeah. So basically, that's like why I'm not playing as much Fortnite now. But I'm playing a bit more of WWE SuperCard. I haven't spent money. I'm not gonna spend money because I'm almost at the top tier in the game, so it's pointless to spend money. So I'm saving myself. And my friend also, I was like not playing the game as much, but then my friend, shout out to Flings, brother of somebody who mentioned on the show before, Bubbles. I don't know if they're named after the chips or what.
Yeah, I didn't realize.
I was going to say now, what's going on
but,
there?
Yeah, it took me I knew him for like, I think like 4 years before I knew what his actual name was. He sent me one of the promo codes for the 2K24. So I got like really high level cards that bumped me up 2 tiers immediately.
That's amazing.
So now I definitely don't need to do like any spending because I'm there.
Yet.
Nah. No, like this Comic Con is coming up. I can't spend money because last time I didn't have enough money at Comic Con and I was sad the whole time because everything was there.
Yeah.
And this time I'm like, no, keep Comic-Con in mind. So I'm definitely no SuperCard money.
Are you saying you're going to spend at Comic-Con? Is that what you're saying?
I'm going to make you spend at Comic-Con. That was last time.
No, that was last time.
Last time, I just kept trying to make Shadley spend money at Comic-Con. I'm going to do it. I won't stop until his wife phones him and asks him what the hell's happening with his bank charges. I'm not going to stop.
No.
Yeah. But that's all I'm busy with.
Cool. Yeah, so two kind of gaming things happened this week. The first one was last weekend, we went to Barcadia in the city.
I've wanted to check it out.
It's really, really cool, man. Flip, like, we were just driving through the city. We were going home and then I'm like, no, Barcadia's right here. Let's go check it out. And it was like a Saturday afternoon. It wasn't very busy. Decent amount of people in there, but like, so basically, if you don't know, the concept is it's a bar. It is where Aces and Spades in Cape Town used to be. And yeah, there's just arcade games everywhere. There's probably about 10 in total arcade games, like arcade cabinets, and it's free to play. So you walk in there, you get your drink, and you just play arcade games. They've got Area 51, which is like a shooting game. They've got Terminator 2, which is also
the shooting game.
And then they've got like Tekken 3. There's Virtua Fighter 2. They've got Ridge Racer, the racing cabinet and everything. They've got another racing game. They've got a pinball machine.
That's fine. And I didn't know it was all free. I thought like you still had to pay.
No, it's all free.
I was going to say now, like, yo, they could have been making the money. Like you're getting drunk and then using... Like, yo, I need to beat this game.
No, but I think that's almost the draw as well. It's like you go to the bar, you grab your drink, and then you're just playing. And then you go back to the bar, grab another drink because you want to play the next game and stuff like that. And at the bar is, there's a flat screen TV behind the bar, two PS5 controllers on the counter, and you can play EA FC 24. There's Mortal Kombat 1. Those are the only two games I saw. I played some Mortal Kombat 1. Oh, they've got Mortal Kombat 2 there as well, the arcade cabinet.
Oh,
so we went from playing Mortal Kombat 2 at the arcade cabinet to Mortal Kombat 1 at the bar, which was really fun. And then they've got like an old CRT TV there with a NES plugged in. So we were playing like Circus Charlie and Mario and Adventure Circus Island. Charlie. It's really cool, man. And there's like lots of gaming memorabilia, like all old school consoles behind the bar. Really, really cool. So that was a lot of fun. Really enjoyed that.
I feel like I want to go. I won't drink, but like...
After the fast, we can see what...
We can go see what happens. But we will just be drinking there the whole time.
Yeah, man. And then the other thing was, so Sifu became available on PS Plus. And so I've been wanting to play it for a while. I don't think it... Like, I never thought it was my kind of game, so that's why I never bought it, you know? But... It's a lot of fun. It's cock difficult though. Like you've got to get used to like dodging mechanics. And I think the controls are a bit weird in my opinion. Cause like there's one button that, so you have to hold an L1 and then like the left analog stick to duck underneath attacks and dodge left and right. But then I think it's R2. If you hold that in and move the analog stick, then you actually like jump out of the way. So like a proper dodge.
So it's like
very convoluted. The controls in my opinion. So
It's probably like just to give like that spatial, sense of spatial like awareness.
But I'm sure once, because I only did like one little like maybe hour long playthrough, but I played it for an hour. And I think once I get used to the controls, it's going to be a lot of fun. And it's like a roguelite as well. So like you run through it and the concept is every time you die, you age by the amount of times you've died in that playthrough. So like if you've died... Like, say, if you the first time you die, obviously you age 1 year, so you're 21 years old. But then the next time you die, you've died now twice, so you go up to 23. Then the next time you die, you go up to 26 and then 30. And every time you reach like 30, 40, 50, your damage goes up because you're more experienced, but you're older now, so your health goes down. And it's like,
that's mad. That's actually like crazy. So it like balances out, like, you're stronger, but also you can't take hits.
Exactly. And it's very, like you'll get to certain points when you've like maybe defeated like a mini boss or whatever, then there's like a shrine that you can go to and then you can unlock like a reward. So you can reset your death counter or you can up your health or you can choose like a new move to unlock with your XP that you've gained through that playthrough. So it's really cool. It's a great concept. Yeah. And it's on PS Plus. So That's me for this week.
Nah, I really want to play that. And speaking of fighting.
You have PS Plus though, right?
Yeah. So I can go.
So you're going to play it when you get home?
No, the whole thing I've been doing this past week is like, I've been playing Tekken 8 and it lives up to the hype. It feels so like fluid and like freeform. There's two new, there's a new controller system, like an easier input one. So you can like use like your rage meter and all of that.
Okay.
Like a lot easier with like single button inputs. I think Mortal Kombat 1 does something similar. Street Fighter does something similar.
Yeah, I don't think it's in Mortal Kombat that kind of a...
There's like an easier input system where you can like throw fireballs and specials with a single button.
That's cool.
But I've been playing on like the more classic controller because that's like what I know. And the game is exactly kind of what I wanted from Tekken. Like I think Tekken 3, Tekken 5 have always been like my favorites.
Yeah.
And you kind of been like, I've kind of been looking for a proper successor. I haven't had a lot of time with 7, and 6 for me personally was a miss. Like it just didn't do enough after 5. So Tekken 8, it just hits all those marks. And then it still has ball mode is in there, which I haven't even gotten to play yet. It has like a proper story mode, which is, it's great. It's just great. It's over the top. It's all you want from Tekken. Like the characters are fun to play. And like, that's kind of what I missed about like a good fighting game is like how you kind of gravitate towards characters because it's like how you express yourself. It's just like, I play this player because I know his moves and it's like, you feel like in touch with like how the character plays and
that's
it's
cool.
Just super jazz.
So who are you playing with?
At the moment, I'm playing as Victor, the French guy with the sword.
I don't think I know him. I don't.
He's a very like he just like looks. He's the only character that uses a gun. He actually uses a gun.
So why did you choose a why did you choose the bra with a gun in Tekken?
But why not?
Bring a gun to a fist fight. Yes. Yeah, why not?
But I also playing like my all time Tekken favorite was Law.
Yeah.
So I've been playing a lot of Law, a lot of Victor, and then Jin for like the story. You kind of have to play as the characters they give you.
Oh, so is it like that Mortal Kombat type of story mode where it's like a cutscene, fight, cutscene, yes. fight? So
it's very much like that. So you're kind of just given characters and that. There is a cool part in the story where you get to the tournament. And besides Jin, because you're tracking his story, they actually allow you to choose
which combatant
you want to pick in the fight. So you can go like,
oh, that's fire.
So like it's like Stephen King fight. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to go with King. And then it's like Brian and Yoshimitsu fight. Then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go Brian this time. So
that's clever.
It makes it like fun. It's not just like, oh, I have to watch like another fight.
Yeah.
They kind of do your own thing. And I haven't even gotten into the customization. So yeah, that's why I'm not playing Sifu.
You haven't even touched Resident Evil 4 yet.
But I haven't even touched Resident Evil 4 yet.
I'm never going to play that game.
No, that's actually like, that is next. But that's kind of also what we're going to be talking about today. Not Resident Evil 4, but we're doing a bit of a show and tell this today. So we're each bringing a topic and talking about it. And to kick us off is Brad.
I feel like I'm in the front of a class now about to do a Mondelung. But so I bought my Xbox Series X and I bought this just... as just like a to I want to talk about Xbox in general and my experience with Xbox.
He brought it just to flex on both of us. He's like, look here,
I've got this tower, the fridge. So I feel like in a way, I feel like Xbox is a little bit underrated or underutilized in South Africa, I would say, and worldwide. I mean, PlayStation is the front runner. But I still am a PlayStation fan, and like almost in the beginning, like you get into the console war kind of mindset of I'm a PlayStation fan or I'm an Xbox fan. But so I had a PlayStation up to PS4, and then actually, you know what? Let me go back. So my history with Xbox is in 2007, I got an Xbox 360. So in that generation, my first console was the 360, not the PlayStation 3. I had, just one second. So I had seen a friend of mine in like 05 or 06, he had the 360 when it like first came out. That, remember the old school big one with the hard drive at the top and stuff like that.
Yes, yes.
And I was like blown away because I was still playing PS2 back then.
And you're like, oh.
And then I saw this guy playing his 360 and I'm like, whoa, like these graphics are insane. Like he was playing Gears of War as well. And like that kind of gameplay I hadn't really seen done that well at the time. So I'm like, okay, like I almost had it ingrained from like 2005, 2006 that like my next console, when I can get one, it's going to be a 360. I didn't even consider a PS3 for some reason. Anyway, so I had that Xbox for a while. I bought it secondhand. And as with a lot of Xbox 360s back the red ring of death reared its ugly head.
Did you put it in the fridge?
I didn't put it. So there was the thing of putting it in the... it wasn't putting it in the fridge. It was overheating it. So you wrap it in a towel and then you let it run for like an hour. And then that almost like melts something inside to like get the CPU back onto, or the GPU back onto the motherboard. Because that was the problem. It was either the CPU or the GPU lifted. Because if I remember correctly now, the thermal paste they used wasn't great in those original 360s.
Oh, yeah. So it was,
and that was the problem. So
it was like wearing out basically.
Exactly. So the one method was to wrap it in a towel and let it just overheat and then the thermal paste would melt a bit more and then the GPU would settle. But I was like, I'm not going to do that because that could mess up something more on the internals.
So is the fridge for like a hard, the fridge is a hard drive, right? If they say like if your hard drive stops working.
To be honest with you, I've never heard that before.
You put it in a plastic bag and you put it in the freezer or in the fridge.
Yeah, if it's like dead, like it's something like you put it in a freezer and then like
a day or two later.
But then you only have like one use out of it. Yeah. And so you might
That's
just
mad.
Get, I don't know how legit this is.
I don't know how the person figured it out.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. I don't know.
That person was desperate.
If you know and yeah, let us know. Figure this out or can like explain it. Please let us know. Tell us.
But so yeah, so like I said, I bought it secondhand and the person I bought it from gave me like a whole bunch of copied games with it. So I was just like, I had gotten into some of those games, right? So I'm like, I'm not just going to go buy another 360 because I've got these games. They won't work on another 360. Yeah. So I actually went online and I found like the most legit way of fixing it. And I did. I fixed the Red Ring of Death myself. But so like, it was like opening it up, taking some kind of, I can't remember, like some kind of heat sink off and then taking the GPU or the I can't remember if it was GPU or CPU off now. And then cleaning the thermal paste off with like alcohol. And then I bought new thermal paste, put it back on.
And then it's fine.
And it worked. But I think it's because he had chipped it or J-tagged it, whatever you did to 360s back then. I could never upgrade my OS. So it was always stuck on like the OG Xbox 360 like panels. It's like the orange one that you can like swipe through and stuff like that.
Yeah, because you couldn't connect online. Like
something like that, yeah.
There's like issues like if you connected online and you could pick up.
So then I carried on playing it for a while, but then when the Xbox 360 Slim came out, then I got that.
Okay.
Because in the interim, I'd bought like new games like Red Dead Redemption and Doom 3 BFG edition and stuff like that. And I wanted to play them.
But you couldn't.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't update.
Yeah. Anyway,
that's terrible.
So long story short, I had a very good run with Xbox, but the Red Ring of Death thing like really almost turned me off the Xbox brand. Okay. So then when it came to the next generation, I didn't even consider the Xbox One. I was just like PlayStation all the way kind of thing.
And it's wild because if I think about it, like with Xbox One,
yeah,
I know no one really who had an Xbox One.
I have one friend.
Yeah.
And he actually, well, he and his brother have it because he bought it like on Black Friday, like a few, because it was like, I think it was like $2,000 or something. Like years ago, and he was like, yeah, he's just going to buy it because he wants a console.
Yeah.
And he bought that, got the wrestling with it.
And he was sorted.
Like, that's what he uses. He still plays like Rocket League and stuff on there to this day. But yeah, like besides him, I don't know anybody that.
It's like, I just don't know people who bought Xbox One. Like
It was almost like the way I kind of remember it. Is that like Xbox 360 almost won that generation over the PS3.
Yeah.
Then PS4 versus Xbox One, PS4 smashed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it just took over. Yeah. It wasn't even like a fight.
Exactly. But then, so you say that, but then I want to say 4 years ago, also on Black Friday, but like someone on Facebook Marketplace was selling a Xbox One S.
Yeah.
On a Black Friday special. So I never considered the Xbox One, but then a friend of mine turned me onto Xbox, right? Like, so he used to live around the corner here. I used to go to his house and he was showing me Game Pass, which I'll get onto a bit later and stuff like that. And I'm like, shit, Xbox is actually really, really cool.
It is. It's underrated. Yeah. It is really underrated.
So then I found a deal for a One S. Secondhand, obviously, someone was selling it for $3,000 at the time. And this was like 4 years ago. So I'm like, okay, cool. Let me get it and let me get Game Pass and sign up for everything. And I was like sold from day one. I'm like, my first game on the One S was Ori and the Blind Forest. And I was just like sold from the get go. Like I was in love, man. And then just opening Game Pass and seeing
like what,
just what you can play. And let me talk about Game Pass for a little bit. So this is the stat heavy part of what I wanted to talk about because I kind of did an info dump. I did my research. So Game Pass as of like time of recording, so it's March now, but the stats I got was from February 2024. There's 34 million users on Xbox Game Pass. So that's over console and PC. There's console Game Pass, PC Game Pass. But if you have like Game Pass Ultimate, you have console and PC Game Pass in one. There's currently over 400 games on Game Pass, which is amazing. There's like something for everyone, which I thought was more than PS Plus, but I saw PS Plus has also around 400 games. So I was like, okay, that's interesting. That's quite something.
PS Plus is just terrible at marketing.
I agree.
No, I think they just go on like, we have brand recognition and people will just buy into it.
Yeah. And I mean, at R129 a month at the time of recording, that's not bad.
It's not. It's cheap.
It's really not bad for what you're getting. You're getting all these games. And included in the PS Plus, Xbox Game Pass Ultimate is you get Riot games with it, which is like Valorant, League of Legends. That's on PC Game Pass, obviously. That's free with it. And you get like a lot of perks and everything. I think those games, some of them are free anyway, but I think you get a lot of perks with it. Like,
if you go through Game Pass.
And then also you get EA Play included with it. EA Play is completely included with it. So like, for example, at time of recording, you can get Formula One 2023. You can get all the Need for Speed games or all the more modern Need for Speed games from like Heat, which you don't really want, but they're there.
But it's there.
So EA FC 24 isn't on there yet, but I've got a feeling it's going to come on soon because the FIFA games they come at around this time of the year.
Just before like the new ones.
Yeah, I think they need players on EA FC. So.
Yeah, apparently it's like horrible.
It's 200 Rand on PlayStation right now on sale for 200 Rand, EA FC.
No, what?
Markdown 80%. It's crazy.
Yo, that's bad.
And also included with EA Play is like Dead Space, all the Dead Space games from OG, from Xbox 360 and the remake, and all the Mass Effect games. And obviously with the new Activision deal that they've just kind of signed, the first notable game coming to Game Pass soon, like very, very soon, is Diablo 4, which is huge.
Yeah, which is, that's a big drop as well.
Yeah. So yeah, and also coming very soon in 2024, you get the day one releases, you know, like the Xbox exclusive day one. So, you know, we had Starfield, we had Hi-Fi Rush, we had all of those day one releases. But coming, I would say the two big notable ones in 2024 is Senua's Saga, Hellblade 2.
Have you played the first one?
I haven't played the first one.
You go play the first
but
one.
But Hellblade 2, really it looks insane. Like the graphics on that thing looks mad.
So Brad posted like some like shots from the photo mode.
It's like photo mode in.
It looks crazy good.
It's like photorealistic, yeah.
It's nuts. Yeah. Like, yo.
And then Stalker 2, Heart of Chernobyl, which was meant to come out last year or beginning of this year, 2024, but they pushed it back, which I'm glad they did. They want to make it a good release.
Is that an exclusive?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Also, like, I think it's a good thing they're pushing it back because considering, like, Redfall last year was, like, such a miss.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And, I want to say Starfall, but Starfield, because it's like, it also didn't quite grip into.
No, I think it like came and went almost, but it also launched in like in 2023, which as we've discussed was one of the best years in gaming. Yeah, you know what I mean?
It was really unfortunate because it was up against it. Like,
exactly.
If Baldur's Gate didn't drop,
Spider-Man 2,
all of that didn't drop. It might have like had a bit of a chance.
Exactly. So I said earlier, like I feel like Xbox isn't really appreciated or owned as much here in South Africa. But on my broadband, which is a local site, they did a poll last year, 2023. They asked readers what brand of gaming console they owned. So I didn't get the number now of how many people they polled, but it was like 3,000 people, give or take, right? Which isn't a massive, and 54% of the votes were for Xbox. 37 was for PlayStation and 9 for Nintendo. So that was a surprise to me, actually.
That is weird.
I know it's a very small batch of people they asked, but I would have thought like PlayStation was like in the 80s, to be honest with you.
Like honestly, I think, I really just think that like they kill it so well with the Game Pass that it's like if you want to play games, but you don't,
on titles, it makes it more accessible. So it's like I can spend on the subscription.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
I can pay like effectively for a year the price of one game and I can just have access to these games for like a long period of time.
Yeah, and as I said before, like Game Pass and PlayStation Plus now. But I always say Game Pass as my like favorite subscription because it was my first one. You know what I mean? And Game Pass has like it showed me games that I've never thought I would play. You know what I mean? And then I've liked them. And then if it goes off Game Pass, like Hades, for example, I buy it because I love it so much. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then there's been games like Death's Door, the Ori games, Hi-Fi Rush. Even I wouldn't have given Hi-Fi Rush a second look, to be honest, if it weren't on Game Pass.
If it was like in stores, like just a regular sort of double A release, and you're like, oh, okay, this looks cool, but I'm not gonna spend money on it like day one.
So that's why I bought the Series S. Excuse me, the 1S. Too confusing. That's why I bought the 1S, right? Yeah. Because I wanted it to be a Game Pass machine. Pretty basically. Much. You know what I mean? I didn't buy... the only game I bought for my 1S was Resident Evil Village.
And how did that play?
It didn't run very well on the 1S, to be honest with you. It was a little bit... You could notice some pop-in and everything like that. But then I played it on the Series X.
And it's so much better.
Oh, man. Chalk and cheese. It was crazy.
Like that, I remember you saying, like, when you got Village, you were like saying, like, okay, no, it's time to upgrade. Like, that was the moment where you were like... Okay, I actually need to upgrade to like really appreciate this.
Exactly. That showed me that the 1S, look, I mean, I bought it like 5 years after into the Xbox One life cycle. You know what I mean? So games were going to look dated and be dated, especially the newer ones, the new AAA games. So that's when I decided to get the Series X. But one of the Xbox showcases, it was on YouTube, like live streaming, and they were just showcasing banger after banger after banger, and all Xbox exclusives, obviously, because it was an Xbox showcase only. And after every banger trailer, it was just like coming day one to Game Pass on Series X, coming day one to Game Pass on Series X. And I'm like, okay, shit, I've got to get a Series X now. You know what I mean? That's going to be my next console. And the very next day, I went to Canal Walk and I bought one. Bought this guy right here. And yeah, I love it, man. It's so... As we all know, I got a PS5 as well quite recently.
Look at this. Look at him just flexing on us.
But so to be honest with you, since getting the PS5, which was in November, so I got it on a Black Friday deal in 2023, I haven't turned this Xbox on, to be quite honest with you. I haven't been paying for Game Pass just because I haven't been using it. Yeah. You know what I mean? Which is also another thing.
Which is nice because it's like, because it's skewed more for more monthly subscription, you can just cancel it.
But that doesn't mean that I don't still love the Xbox and the brand as a whole and Game Pass. It's just like I've got like a shiny new toy that I've been playing with, you know what I mean? And I've been enjoying diving back into the PlayStation exclusives and everything. So that's why I haven't touched the Xbox. But for example, just before I got the PlayStation, I got Mortal Kombat 1 on the Series X and I flipping loved that game, man. It was so much fun and I'm very keen to go back into it. And games like Starfield, for example, also Hi-Fi Rush, I haven't finished it. And I know it's on PlayStation now, just dropped on PlayStation, that and Sea of Thieves.
But it's like also like time. Like it's just
well, exactly.
Time.
You just don't have time to play everything. And kind of wrapping it up now, my talk on Xbox, I could probably talk forever on this thing. Another really, really cool thing with Xbox, and I don't want to start like a console warrior, but it's definitely what Xbox does better than PlayStation, is the backwards compatibility aspect of things.
Oh, for sure.
So I checked some stats again, another stat dump, but there's 633 Xbox 360 games that work on the Xbox Series consoles and One consoles. So, and all you have to do literally is if you have a disc, pop it in, and it downloads the digital version.
And then
you got it. You know what I mean? You play it. It's because you've bought it in the past. Xbox, like you've bought the game from us in the past. Why am I starting to charge you again?
For
and that's kind of there was like a little bit of controversy when the Red Dead 1 remaster kind of came out and like, people were, they were, Rockstar were charging
full price
for the like a 1080p remaster kind of thing, right? On PlayStation and Xbox. But if you had the original, like I did,
you could play it.
You literally pop it in, it downloads it. And the cool thing about the backwards compatibility is that for a lot of games, like Red Dead, like the Fallout games or like Fallout 3 in New Vegas, Max Payne 3 even, it's upscaled 4K and either at 60 or 120 frames per second, butter smooth, man, on like a 10-year-old game, 13-year-old game.
That's not bad.
Not at all. And a lot of them are on Game Pass already. But if you have the disc, like I have Max Payne 3, pop it in here, downloads the digital version, good to go. And then also just quickly, it also has 63 OG Xbox games that you can play on backwards compatibility.
Oh, like Halo and stuff like that. I'm pretty
Like the Max Payne 1 and 2, for example, all the Splinter Cell games.
That's really dope, actually.
Yeah. And if you have the disc, pop it in, you download it, or you can just go buy them on the Microsoft store. Like I did that with Max Payne 1 and 2, and they're cheap because they're like $50 for OG Xbox games on there.
So I was going to say, because like I know globally, like, PlayStation is still leading on sales in terms of that. And this is like what I think works against Xbox is, and I'm talking about just the console, like it's actually Games Pass works against it because you're also competing against PC.
Yeah.
And like the way I looked at it is this. If you break it into like the competitive market, the guys there are going to play rather on PC if they can. Because you're going to get a smoother experience. You're probably going to have a high-end PC.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to go that way. But if you're looking for like more narratively skewed games and something a bit more casual,
yeah,
PlayStation kind of offers that a little bit better.
I agree.
And I think that is where the struggle comes in.
Yeah.
But that being said, like, I still think Xbox Series S is like the best console for like anybody wanting to start their like gaming journey.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, get a Series S. Like, if you have a kid who wants to start playing games, Switch is great. Yeah, it is. But I'd say get a Series S, get Games Pass. You're going to have a lot of games for them to play. And like, you won't have to spend a fortune all the time, and it will get them in.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to spend 10, 12 grand on a console and then like another grand every time a new game comes out.
Yeah.
You can spend, it's still a lot of money, like 7-8 grand on a Series S and maybe like another grand on Games Pass Ultimate.
For the year, yeah.
For the year. And then you'll actually get like a decent selection of games. So,
yeah.
Also, if your kid isn't allowed to play games like during school time, you just buy a Game Pass for the holidays.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the other thing. Or you can just buy it for yourself and play when they're not playing.
That's kind of what I would do.
You win on all the fronts.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. In closing, talking about Xbox, I could probably talk about Xbox for a whole episode. But yeah, I love the thing. I love the brand. I think 2024 is going to be a big year for Xbox. I know we've been saying that probably for every year since Xbox, the series consoles came out. But 2024 with the Activision deal and with, like I said, Stalker and, what's the other game that I said?
Senua's Sacrifice. Hellblade 2.
Yeah. With Hellblade 2 and Stalker, Shadow of Chernobyl coming out. It's going to be a good year to get Game Pass and Xbox. And also, there's a lot of stuff on like Facebook Marketplace to get a 1S for like, you could probably wangle someone for like 2.5 grand kind of thing.
Lowball them.
Yeah.
Low 75 them. Rand.
and just use that as a Game Pass machine. Like,
yeah.
If you're just into like, not casual gaming, that sounds a bit condescending, but if you just want to play random games, you don't want to get a console for a specific exclusive or whatever, you can do a lot worse there. Even a Xbox One X, which is like the most powerful version of the Xbox One, they're still going for quite a lot of money on Marketplace, but it's decent for like 4 grand to get a One X.
As you a can game handle a lot. Huh? And it's got like a terabyte also.
It's decent.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not going to be talking about consoles today. I'm going to be talking about a game that took me by surprise. And that is like one of my favorite games of all time. And that is Dishonored. So, how much do you know about Dishonored?
Can I see the box? I've seen the box.
So you've seen the box.
This is like, what's the other game where the guy has powers?
Deathloop.
No, is this not like...
There's a fun fact about that, actually.
Infamous in a way, like in my mind, I thought it was like infamous
it's
because of power,
to you,
powers.
I would say you spoke about Singularity, where you have powers as well.
Yeah,
it's more similar to like Singularity. Yeah. So, the game you play as an assassin who's been you actually play as one of, I think he's the queen's guard, and like assassin, he's a bodyguard. And basically, he's framed for the murder of the Empress. And then it's like, you have to save her daughter and like basically put her back on the throne of Dunwall. And the whole city is in like disrepair, basically. So, I'm going to take you on a little journey with Dishonored. This came out in 2012, if I'm not mistaken. So it came out in 2012 on the PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and on PC.
Okay. Right? PC as well. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And like the thing was, this was developed by Arkane and published by Bethesda. Now Bethesda were hyping it because Skyrim had launched. So everybody was like, oh, wow, another big open world game. Like Bethesda, it's a first person. Oh, it's going to be amazing. And I think people like overlooked like Arkane. They just saw like Bethesda.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, it's Skyrim, but different. And then like gameplay, not just gameplay, but they brought out the fact that it is going to be a mission-based game and hype declined because people were like, no, we don't want a linear game. Yes, there was a time people didn't want linear games. They only wanted open world games. That's why we are where we are. And it's like, hype actually declined. Like, I know I was a little bit disappointed because it's like, I've been playing Skyrim.
Yeah.
You guys want something similar but different. And then you're like, yeah, oh, it's not going to be an open world game. It's going to be a linear game. So you're like, I don't know. Hey, anyways, I was like, I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to get it day one. Yes, I got it day one.
You?
I took the risk. That was nice. The time that I actually risked day one purchases. And yeah, the game ended up being a success. It's been cited as one of the greatest video games ever made. It's in that category.
Wow.
And look here, the game is just amazing. So it's a first person shooter, but you have powers and it is mission based, but the levels are very open.
Yeah.
They're broad, they're open. It's set in the steampunk world of Dunwall. And you're basically trying to get rid of all the conspirators that killed the Empress and that. But you're approached by this outside entity, like a godlike entity called the Outsider, and he marks you. And that's where you get powers. So in the game, you get different powers, which are... Wait, let me just see. Yeah, actually, I have the list here. You get dark vision, so you can see in the dark. You get blink. You have possession. You can bend time.
Yes.
You can... this devouring swarm, so you can send rats out to like attack people. There is agility, shadow kill. So like if you kill somebody, their bodies turn to ash, so they can't find like the bodies. And there's a wind blast, so you can like blow out torches, but you can also like push people off ledges like that.
Is this not a stealth game?
It is a stealth game. But here's the thing is like you can take any approach to take out your target. So the way it works is that there's a high chaos ending and a low chaos ending. If you kill everybody, it's high chaos. If you don't kill anybody, you can actually like not even kill your targets. You can just sabotage them and undermine them and not kill a single person. And that will like lead to different endings. Actually, there's three endings, if I'm not mistaken. There's a third ending, like a hidden one. I just can't remember at the time of recording how to get there. But where the game flourishes is in its power system. And like, I think this is something that's like lost in a lot of modern games. It's the creativity in which you can combine things. So there's no set approach to how you need to get from A to B. Yep. For instance, if there's like a building you need to get in, you can summon out a devouring swarm, possess them, then use that to get into the building and depossess them. You can possess a god. Like if you're caught, you can possess a god, get him to shoot his friend.
Sure.
Like come out, kill him.
Yeah.
Do that. There's like a bunch of ways. Like one of the favorite things, I think, early on, they showcased that somebody devouring swarm, you can throw a bomb on them, possess them, send them to like a group of guys, blow them up.
Hectic.
And it's just like having that sort of freedom is just amazing. Because it's like, I played the game recently, like 2 years ago, and it holds up well. Because there's a definitive edition out on PlayStation. It's actually free on PS Plus as part of PS Classics. So if you want to play it, you can go get it there.
Also Game Pass.
And on Game Pass, you see. So you must go and play.
Yeah.
It is such a fun game to play. And it's got a captivating story. It's got a main character who, in a world, like it's a steampunk crazy world with people whose names are like Princess Emily and that. And then your character's name is Corvo Atano, like, that's a made-up name.
All names are made-up.
In a world where you go like, oh, Emily, and like, here's John, and then there's like, here's Corvo. Like, yeah, that's normal. But it's just, it feels immersive. It feels alive. And like, what I think they did well was you have so many different approaches to the game. So like, the levels feel big, but you also feel like, I can do this in so many different ways. Yeah. Like if you're playing, like I know I played a high chaos the first time, or like a high chaos, because I was like, nah, bro, I'm killing people here. And it's just afterwards you go, okay, there's this section where you're like, how do I get past this without killing anybody? And it's like trying to figure out that and exploring the map and like looking, is there another way around? Can I do this? Oh, maybe like if I switch off the lights here, I kill the power here, distract him, then go across, like blink across to the other side while using like dark vision just so I don't not, like see anybody. Mm. Like that's how I do it. Yeah. And it's just all those permutations make the game feel like fun and creative. Yeah. And makes it feel like your own adventure. And yeah, I actually... Nicely, and now I want to play
the game. I'm going to play it as soon as you guys leave.
I've never played it before.
It's really fun. I also think it's not like long. Like it's not overly long. So yeah, go and play it. Go check it out. It's one of my favorite games. It's up there and I highly recommend. So
I respect the fact that it's not open world because like...
It's all the better for it.
Yeah.
I don't have a list for open world games anymore.
It's the kind of like every stage is a bit of a sandbox, but like it's not too big. There's enough linearity where it's like, I must get from A to B, but like, here's the space. Yeah. Let's go do your thing.
Yeah. It's very arcane. Like, I mean, like I said, Deathloop seems like a spiritual successor to Dishonored, like 100%.
Fun fact.
Yeah. Show me.
It's set in like Deathloop is in the far future of Dishonored apparently, and I'm like,
that makes sense.
Okay, does make sense.
I remember when I first saw the launch trailer for Deathloop when it was like a PS timed exclusive. Yes, remember that? And I remember seeing the trailer without knowing what it was, without knowing what I was getting into. Whatever, I'm like, is this Dishonored 4? Like,
are we getting another one?
And then it's like Arkane Studios.
And you're like, oh, we are. Yeah, and then it's like, no.
Yeah.
Did they make 3 Dishonored games?
No, they made 2. So there's like 2.
Wasn't there a spin-off?
Yeah, it's like, I want to say DLC, like expansions.
Okay, I thought it was a separate game.
Dishonored, then there's Dishonored 2, and then there's Death of the Outsider.
That's what I was thinking of, Death of the Outsider
is more like an expansion on like the first game.
And how were the follow-ups?
I really enjoyed 2. I know it's a bit more controversial because in 2, Emily. She's grown up and she's a secondary character. You can choose between Corvo and Emily who to play as, and they have very different power sets.
Yeah.
And I don't think people took well to like that split and like certain things they did. I still really enjoyed Dishonored 2, but they couldn't be Dishonored 2 without the original.
Yeah.
So go and check it out. Highly recommend.
I still remember there's that one mission in Dishonored. I never finished the game because like Arkane Studio games for me, like they don't gel with me. Like I don't know why. Like, I mean, how you just described it, it's basically a Bethesda version of Hitman. You know what I mean?
I was thinking it sounds like Hitman.
So like that should be right up my alley. But like, anyway, but the point is I remember there was that one level, it's called like the Baroness's Party or something like that. You go almost undercover to
You must figure out which one she is because they're like all masked.
And then there's that one guy who challenges you to a duel. Did you ever, because I think it's optional, but like if you talk to this one guy and he's like, he challenges you to like a literal duel with guns.
Yeah, I shot him.
Me too. No, me too. But then he kept getting me because you have to turn around and stuff like that, like a normal, like old school duel. But then I'm like, let me just slow down time with my power. Turn around in the head. And like, I really like that level. And then you have to escape at the end and there's like robots looking for you, if I remember correctly.
Yes, there's like these like mechanized things that look for you. This game sounds crazy.
But there's like a mid-game twist or like a first, third game twist.
Yeah, there is a twist.
And I was like, but I could see it coming from a mile away.
It's not like a twist where you go like,
no,
this is like the most mind-bending twist ever. It just works really well in the game where you go, oh, that's pretty cool. Like,
yeah,
I'll go with it.
I'm definitely, honestly, it's a public holiday today on day of recording. And when you guys leave, I'm downloading it and playing it.
I might play this game.
Yeah,
you should. Yeah. You should. And Saeed, now it's your turn. You must also bring the hype.
Yo, I'm not going to lie. I have 2 games here. I still don't know which one I want to talk about.
I'm gonna go with this one on top.
Shadley chose because I couldn't make up my mind because I have two games here. I didn't want to choose something that might be a game of the year later down the line because then I don't want to speak about something twice because if somebody listened to both episodes, it's going to be like, why do I need to listen to what this brother is saying? But Charlie chose this one out of the 2 I have, and it's FIFA Street 2. Yo.
I never played it.
You never played it?
Never.
Do you want
to
borrow it?
I mean, I might have to.
You need to play
anyway,
it.
Anyway, talk about it. Build up hype and then I want to play
so
it.
Yo. I'm going to start. Okay, right. This game came out in 2006. Right?
Yeah, this is peak. Yeah.
I still remember the first time I saw somebody play it. You know, like at the end of the school year where you have to come to school, but there's nothing to do.
Yeah.
So one of my friends, he got a PSP from his auntie in London and he came to school and he was playing. He let us all play FIFA 32 on the PSP. In the class. That was the first time I played PSP as well.
Yo.
I changed my life. Once I saw you could do game breakers in the game. So like, to I don't know, you haven't played it, so you don't know what the game
breakers are. No, I was going to ask now, what's a game breaker?
So like you get like power ups basically in the game. You can do, mm-hmm. it's like the ultimate power up. So every time you get skill points for the moves you do. So when you fill the bar, then you unlock the game breaker. So in the center circle of the court, has like a star in it.
Okay.
Then you need to dribble through the star and then if the whole game goes slow-mo, right?
Okay.
So then you can do game breakers. So like every player that you skill while you're doing a game breaker can like be an extra goal.
Okay.
So if you play like first to five and you skill the whole team, you win basically.
That's cool.
The game goes super slow-mo, but also the game breaker is like a shot that one-on-one with the keeper, it's always going to go in. Like it's just a super power shot.
Okay.
So it's like, do you risk it? Do you try to skill the people and go for it and try to finish the game earlier, or do you just be like, nah, I need a goal, let me get the game breaker? And the first time I saw a game breaker, it was so mad because you can like do skills and stuff. So
do you know what's sick about it, sorry, to is like you can be like losing and you can just win a game, like you can bold.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And also the thing that I really like about this game, that if I'm not, I have the PS3 version of FIFA Street also. It was ass.
Really?
But it was, I got it when they announced it. I was like, I pre-ordered that game.
Okay.
It was built around FIFA 12 time.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels exactly like FIFA 12, but like worse.
Oh no.
This game was like the perfect midpoint between like what, cause this came out in 06.
Yeah.
So this was like the perfect midpoint between what FIFA 07 was and what you want the arcade version of the game.
Yes.
Okay.
So like the thing that I love about this game, like you use the right analog to do skills.
Mm-hmm.
So you can learn moves. You don't even really need to learn moves. You can just go crazy with the analog and you might beat the bruh. Or you can tap the ball around them. You can knock it over them. You can skill. You can just do like chip passes to each other and they're like quite accurate. So you can like ping pong the ball across and then you can do bicycle kicks. But also you can, I think it's triangle if I'm not mistaken, where it's a default skill.
Okay.
So like,
I can't remember.
If you want to like beat somebody, if you just press triangle, you can like put them through or something. Like
it's very arcadey.
Yeah, but they can also block it if they time the tackle.
Okay.
And also like you can slide people and you can like play you through. Like there's no, I don't think because of the trap, because that's triangle, you don't get like through balls like you get in a normal game. But the game encourages you to just play like
the way you,
and towards the player. And then there's I think it's called Own the Streets, if I'm not mistaken. The Own the Streets mode, where you start off, you have like your local club, wherever you choose to start. So like you start to play in London, you have your five players, you can level them up as you go. And basically you conquer the world. But then also what happens is you play against pros in the game. So like you'll play eventually and then you'll be like, okay, I'm playing Samuel Eto'o's team.
Okay.
If I beat them, Samuel Eto'o can join my team.
That's cool.
So then you basically you can collect the stars throughout the game. And like every star has like a signature move also.
Yes.
Ronaldo has a signature move. Messi has a signature move. Ronaldinho has one. Pavel Nedved is in there. He's got one. And they all have like names for it. Like Nedved's move is like called like perpetual motion or whatever. And then he does like some move where he taps the ball. Like,
and there's 320 pros in here. That's crazy.
Yeah, so like, I think only like some of them are the captains, so you can only get some of them in your team.
Okay.
But like the pros are, because it's like the normal teams as well. So like they have like the Brazil team, so you can play like Ronaldinho, Robinho, all those people on your squad. Cool. You can choose which five you want.
Yeah.
And then you play with them and stuff like that. But then also at the same time, like there's real people in there. Like real people who are known for playing like street stuff.
Stylers.
Oh, got you.
Actually
okay.
In there, and like you can unlock them and get them to your team. And so like it's really cool because they gave you like a career mode that's not like a FIFA career mode where there's no manager aspect to it.
Yeah.
But you can also like you make your own team. So you choose your kits and you unlock sponsors while you play. So like,
in the
beginning, you have like a plain clothes. But everybody in your team can like choose their clothes as well. So like if you want them all to have a uniform, you can. But if you want them to just be like whatever, randomized, you can choose the colors of the stuff. And then you unlock like Adidas tops and Nike tops and boots for you guys.
That's really cool.
And it's like such a fun game. And
it is.
The best thing about it is that it holds up because...
Have you played it like recently?
Yeah, I played it. I played it like a few months ago because I was babysitting like two lighties who had never... who the oldest console they played on was a PS4.
Okay.
And I was like, yo, I have a PS2. We're going to play. If you want to play games, you're going to play PS2.
Saeed always hates on us for being old. But look at him being an uncle. He's being a booyah. Yeah.
That's like, they never played PS2 before. They didn't know anything about it. They didn't understand that the control had wires. Like they were like, what's happening here? You know,
there's no menu.
I let one of them play this game and he was having so much fun with it because it's arcadey.
That's cool.
So
I feel like
if you lean into arcadiness, you can always play a game.
Yes.
And like he was having fun because he loves soccer. So I was like, yo, this is how you do this move. This is how you skill. And he just kept like, and then I showed him what, and then he was like, okay. And then, you know, like, all the lighties, like, eventually, like, they're like, okay, they want to play something else. And I was like, but did you see the Game Breaker? And then he was like, whoa, what's that? Then he played the game for an hour after that. And I was like, okay, perfect.
Job done.
Yeah.
Job done.
And so did you ever play the Volta modes on, like, the newer FIFAs?
I tried, but for
it's
me,
not the same.
It still feels too much like FIFA.
Yeah, yeah.
And,
yeah.
like, this is, like, for me, this is, like, the peak of arcade.
Yeah.
Because it's
yeah.
EA big.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, it's got, where's Yasi now for the...
It's over the top.
Yeah.
It's just like fire. It's meant to be like sort of ridiculous.
Yeah. And there's like, it's got like cool soundtracks and you play throughout the world. Like there's a court where you play like in, I think like Cameroon. There's a court, you know, like Australia.
Very
like,
cool.
It's really cool. It just makes it feel so like a liquor game. Like it's big and you actually want to learn skills. So like you sit, like I said, you sit with a manual and you're like, okay, that's how you do that move. Like
that's
you
cool.
try it. And it works liquor because I don't know if, I can't remember if there's different camera angles, but the one I always use is where it's literally just like from your goalie's point of view, basically. So you play that way. And it helps a lot when you're trying to skill people because I know like on the other FIFA 3, it's like at the newest one, like you play like the, almost like the TV broadcast.
Uh-huh.
And that like, doesn't feel
like
FIFA to me. Like that immediately was like, that doesn't feel like FIFA 3.
Got you. Okay.
Like you feel like it's lost like its identity. Yeah. Man.
But this, honestly, this game is so fun. And the best thing about it is that if you play it with people, it's so fun because like, the skills are funny because you can, like, it's fun. Like you can try to skill your friend, but then also you can block it. And then it just becomes like, who can chain together the most ridiculous moves? Who's going to get the game breaker? Are you going to like,
if you're going to go, you get the game breaker, are you going to try and go for like the win?
Go for the game breaker. And I'm not sure if I'm getting this one confused with the newer one, but there's also like, I think there's also a thing where you can just like go based off like trick score in the game instead.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's like, so like the more points you get, because you get points for every trick you do. So like the more,
because
I know like on the newest one, definitely there's like a trick score where if you reach that meter, then it's like it counts. But yeah, so this one definitely, I think you should borrow it and give it a go.
I will.
Because it's so fun.
It's such like, you know, no, that's my problem with like modern FIFA and like just modern like soccer sims in general is like, they sims, they feel so like technical and it's like sometimes I don't want to play like something that feels so like labored and like technical. I want to play like something arcade where I'm just going to kick around, do ridiculous things, walk into like classic FIFA, like can even go back to like 2010, 06, all of that. Yeah. We still had like very arcade elements to it. And like that is like the perfect encapsulation of like just arcadey fun and just like encouraging you to have fun, man. Just do your own thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, because like I don't know if you guys remember that day I messaged in the group when I was like, I just bought like FIFA 8, FIFA 9, 10, 11. Yeah. Like I bought like all of them except like one for the PS3 and I tried to play them and like as you go back they get more fun because it's more arcadey. But at the same time you get so used to like control schemes of the later games you can't play them. So like FIFA like 09 was like was super lekker because I'm like, okay, I'm running with Ronaldo full speed, whatever, like he can score from anywhere, it's fun. But then you try to do a move or like a pass that you can't do in this game. And it's like, but you don't get that in here because they simplified the actual there's no meta in this game. There's nothing like
it's
that.
Just like how bold you want to be and go for it.
Like, and like, yeah, and very cool. Can you remember combinations? But also, like, when I was younger, I never used to I remembered like two. The rest was just me moving this.
Yeah, most of the time, it's just like button mashing. Like,
yeah.
How do I move this?
Yeah, and like, this is the second one. I think the first one, was like very, very bare bones, like to the point where it wasn't as fun as this one. I know they made a 3 after this, but I think universally everybody agrees that the third one was a bit of a flop.
Is that the one on PS3?
No, the one on PS3.
I think that's just a separate one.
They did make one on PS3 called FIFA 33, but the one that I bought is the one that has Messi on the cover that came out 2012 that is just called FIFA Street.
Okay.
And yeah, I might try to give it a go again, but like, it just feels like FIFA 12. But like, this doesn't feel like a FIFA game. But if you try to play that game now, it feels like an old FIFA game.
Got you. But this one is just a fun. Like, exactly.
Yeah, like I feel like if they gave you like a trick stick with this thing, you would feel like it's properly arcade.
Very cool.
Yeah. It's very they need to bring this back for people who just want to play more casually and enjoy themselves and not stress.
Yeah,
I can't believe like Xbox or like PlayStation hasn't like just made a deal with like EA where they're like, we're gonna bring all of your old games to our platform.
Bruh, like EA is greedy, bruh. They
like,
will.
Or EA, like, cause like they are with EA, right? Xbox, right? They have like,
well, EA players on there. Yeah.
So like, and I think it's on PlayStation as well.
Yeah, but EA Play comes with Game Pass, is what I mean.
Yeah.
EA Play is on PlayStation as well.
So it's like, I guess like they're probably like, they need the rights for the players and stuff like that. Yeah. But like,
true.
Like, but still, this would be so liquor, like if you could update the controllers. Like, honestly, like the graphics and stuff doesn't even matter because it's arcade. If you could just make the controllers feel better, like, I feel like this would be the game people are playing.
Yeah. No, 100%. Like, we need more fun. So I just feel like FIFA nowadays just feels too labored and that. And for me, it's like I get bored of playing it because it feels so much like an effort. Mm. Even if I want to play one or two games, it feels like...
Yeah.
And you can't play online because everybody is playing meta. Don't have these cards in the game. You can't do anything.
And like if I'm playing manager mode, it's like... That takes time, man. Yeah. And it's like, then I must sit down and...
But it also gets boring after a while. Yeah. You don't want to play 10 seasons of manager mode.
Yeah, it's
anymore.
Like after like one,
by
two
season,
seasons...
By season
like,
3, you have every player that you need.
Exactly.
You're just like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I think that wraps up our show and tell. And now it's time to go on to some Q&As people have been asking us. So Dean Abel asks us, thoughts on new gen gaming?
I mean, so current gen, basically.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Yes.
Love it. I can't live without it. we love retro on this channel, but...
Yeah, current gen is great.
Current gen's amazing.
I think the highs are very high, but the lows are very low in this generation. So you'd notice like the lows when they are there. But I think like when games are great this generation, like they really are great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just keep tracking.
Yeah. Also, like, I think just for now, the fact that like you can find out so much about games and you can see thousands of millions of people playing games online at any point. If you go like onto Twitch or whatever, it's really cool because you can see real time how people are feeling about games. Because I feel like in the past, you didn't have as much access to like seeing people's reactions outside of like the random tweet you'll see or speaking to someone in person. Or if you really were like a nerd and were like reading reviews and stuff like that, like now I can just go onto Twitch and I can see like, are people enjoying this game or not? And I think that's cool because you get like a real-time understanding of how a game is actually received. Because otherwise, like I don't know if, I feel like as time goes on, we're going to have less hidden gems because things are just...
Cut and dry. Either it's great or it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. People are loud when they like stuff.
my other thing is also like, don't worry too much about like raw reviews on games. Like, rather go to places like Twitch or like look on YouTube what other people are saying and like people who enjoy a similar type of game to you maybe enjoy. Go do that because there are games that are great that you might miss because a review is very technical about like, its performance isn't great and like it misses the mark, so it's not a good game. And it's like, back like PS1, PS2 days, a game could miss the mark and still be like really fun because it's bold and it's trying something new. And like nowadays, you just don't give it the shot. So like give more games a shot. Next question. Harvey Bentley says, Mensa, there's only one question that needs answered. What car did you buy Need for Speed Most Wanted first? I don't remember because I don't play a lot of Need for Speed. And honestly, I don't think I care that much.
I'm with you on that one. Hey, like to be, I'm sorry, I can't answer that question better, but.
I'm going to Google it because I played this game recently, but I just can't remember what the cars were. But
it is deep in the research there.
There's too many.
But this is also ridiculous. This list is ridiculous because it's not putting it in the order that you get them.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, I either used to go for the Lexus or I used to go for the Volkswagen in the beginning. But I normally went for the Lexus because I liked the body kits for the Lexus more than the Volkswagen. I felt like the VW's one were a bit goofy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Keenan Weingart says, favorite wrestlers and wrestling games of all time. Yo.
Saeed?
Yo, Saeed, that's on you. For me, it's tough. No, I'm going to go Know Your Role, SmackDown versus Raw, and SmackDown versus Raw 06. I haven't played like a lot after that. Favorite wrestlers in general? Yo, that's tough. I'd say Undertaker's up there. Shawn Michaels is up there.
Mm.
And Randy Orton is also up there. That's just a few. Like they change all the time. Yeah. Oh, Christian. Christian's also like
Christian.
Okay, my favorite of mine. One of my favorite entrance music like of all time.
Brad?
You're asking the wrong person here. But I've got a favorite wrestler of all time, and that's the Ultimate Warrior.
That's
your man.
Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, that shows you how long ago I used to watch it.
I didn't expect that.
I went and watched wrestling at the Belleville Velodrome. Not the Belleville Velodrome, the one in the city, whatever it's called.
The good option.
Yes. I went and watched WWF there with my dad, like in like 1996 or something.
It's old now when it's WWF.
Yeah, exactly. And like I remember seeing, what was that dude with Jake the Snake?
Yeah.
Where he bought his anaconda out. And I saw Bret the Hitman Hart there as well. And I think it was after the days of like Ultimate Warrior. So, but I remember always loving Ultimate Warrior for some reason. Yeah.
That's crazy. So I'm going to say my favorite wrestling game is SmackDown versus Raw 08. Just because I love the controls in this game. And also this was the first like game that I had that was fully mine because the others were like I would share it with my cousins and that wasn't fun because like I never had as much time to get into the game as I wanted to.
Swag.
Favorite wrestlers of all time. I'm going to try to not speak too long because I can speak about this forever.
This is our resident wrestling expert.
Number one is Daniel Bryan. Going to be Daniel Bryan forever. Number two, I'm not going to lie. I thought like I hated him for a while. But I think it must be like CM Punk is up there just because when he came back, I immediately felt like I was like 13 again when I saw him come out. And I feel like you can't put a price on that. And then also, let me like limit it to two because otherwise I'm going to just keep speaking. But
that's
like,
a whole other episode.
Make it three, make it one more.
If I have to go for three, look, I want to, if I go for three, I'm going to say, This is too tough. I didn't think about this beforehand.
So it will we'll do a follow this. Up on like
yeah, we'll do a follow
top
up.
10 favorite wrestlers.
A whole another episode.
The only thing that I know for certain is that Daniel Bryan is my favorite, but the others can come and go like at any time.
Okay, so Ismail Ibrahim 915 asks, can you do your thoughts on Death Stranding? I heard so many different things, unsure whether to play it. So I have played it and I really enjoyed the game. However, it's a game that you really need time to like soak in what it's trying to do. Like a lot of people will say it takes very long for it to get to the point, but there's a reason why it does that. I don't want to spoil it. It's not really a story thing. It's more like a meta commentary that the game does, which is wild.
Very Kojima.
It's very, but it's so like out there that you go like, oh, what? Like, that's nuts. So, like, I'd both, like, recommend it and not, like, if you enjoy Kojima games, you enjoy sort of like slower burn games, go for it. But if you like sort of faster paced games, then I'd maybe shy away from it. That's the best way.
All I know is that people that didn't like this game were all saying like it's like a Postman simulator basically. And that's why they hated it.
So if you
think you're gonna think that way, lass it.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I'll tell you after. But yeah.
I'm gonna play it one day though. That's top five must play games.
So it came out very randomly on PC Game Pass last year. So funny, a PlayStation exclusive coming out on an Xbox service.
And it's like the director's cut got launched with everything. Yeah. So it's like,
and so I downloaded it on PC last year and I didn't get too far because my PC struggled a little bit with it, I won't lie. But I was really enjoying it. Like
it's very different.
I'm not a Kojima fan in terms of his games. I like him and I appreciate him.
What he does.
But
and his outfits.
Yeah.
And his movie reviews.
Exactly.
That's the best.
Yeah. But I was enjoying it. I was enjoying like almost like the mechanic of how you walk and how you must balance and how you must get down and up mountains. And I was enjoying that. I didn't get very far, but I just downloaded the director's cut on my PS5 and I'm going to get into it soonish.
We'll see if he makes it the whole way.
Brad will follow up in, let's say,
7 years.
We'll give him a year.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Yeah, and with that, we come to the close of the Coffee Controller podcast for this episode, our little show and tell without Yasi.
Mm.
Guys, as always, stay tuned for more episodes and shorts on all our social media platforms. And yeah, have a liquor one. Tell us what you want to tell us about, like, what are the games you enjoy or the platforms you feel are underappreciated. Go tell us.
Yeah, so like, if you like the concept of this thing, let us know. And also, if you have stuff, we can do show and tells on behalf of you guys if you send in enough motivation for what it is and why. And ask us more questions.
Also, and now, and finally, I'm Shad.
I'm Brad.
I'm still Saeed.
Bye.
Peace out.
Safe.
A-Town.